Hey, coming up this week
on the Rock for Him podcast,
we talk to the guys from the band To Fight For.
You have a name for the fumble.
I'm going to have to restart this because I completely screwed up. I forgot to hit record.
You lost the gold, man.
I did. All right. Well, hello and welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. This is take two of the episode. I apologize, guys. Normally I hit record like 15 minutes ago, but I forgot. So my name is Sandshoes, and joining us tonight is my sister in Christ, Kira Starr. Kira. Welcome again. Listen, we're normally way less professional than this. Way less. So it only gets better from here. But joining us tonight are the guys from To Fight For. We have Bobby Joe. We have Hal. Guys, how are you tonight?
We're the same way we were 2 minutes ago.
Yes.
No, I've been rubbing off on you, Bobby. Okay, I see how it is.
Yes. So, tell us a little bit about yourselves and about the band. Bobby, if you want to go through your whole thing again.
Yeah, that's all good. My name is Bobby Joe. I play guitar and do lead vocals for To Fight For. I am a producer, studio engineer in the Nashville area. I have a wife and four kids, and I am part of my worship team at the church and run front of house sound for the church. Actually, I'm the head of the sound at my church. Nice. Which was, you know, pretty cool move of God. And I love God and like to serve him in any way possible.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Hal, how about you?
Hi, everybody. My name is Hal the Pal. I am a dad joke connoisseur. I'm glad I said it right this time and not on the other take because that was horrible. I am a bassist and backing vocalist for To Fight For. I'm the one who really puts Bobby through the grinder when it comes to making sure the songs are all perfect and ready to go. You know, if you ever wonder why my neck is so red, it's because he's trying to ring me out half the time. And you're like, enough of the mixed crits.
Love it.
You know, assistant to Revelation Studio, where we do everything out of. I also play, you know, a little bit of guitar for church, you know, more like rhythm and ambience and texture and all that. And, you know, licensed exhorter with the Church of God denomination. So, you know, for those who may not know, that's a Pentecostal. So, yeah, but I would consider myself non-denominational, ecumenicist, you know, to the fullest.
So. Nice. Very nice. So I just got to tell you guys, I was listening to your music today. I got on Spotify. I always listen to whoever we have coming up. I spend like the full week just going through your catalog, listening to your music. So I'm sitting in my office today at work. I have a different job other than podcasting. And I had your guys' music just blasting in my office. I work for a manufacturing company. I work IT. So I'm sitting there, I'm pounding away on my keyboard, just taking care of some stuff. And out of the corner of my eye, I see one of the guys walk by, stop, look, and he's like, "Is everything okay in here?" I'm like, "Yes, it is." And just go right back to what I'm doing. So it was just like one of those awesome moments where I was like, "Yes."
That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, since I've started listening to your guys' music, because I'll be honest, I wasn't familiar with you before, but since I've started listening, love your stuff. Like, absolutely love it.
Thank you, man. That's awesome.
So
that means more than you know.
Tell us a little bit about the band. Like, how long have you guys been around? How many releases do you have? More than what's on Spotify? Because there's not very much on there.
Yeah, that's a pretty loaded question. So To Fight For is actually an offshoot of a band that we used to be a part of that we started getting a pretty good traction and a pretty good following. It's called We Are Victory.
Okay.
And so basically it fell apart for a lot of different reasons, but you know, To Fight For was started from that. And then we went through a couple different iterations of it. But the thing that has been a constant is the EP Glorify. But when we released it, I only released it because I recorded everything myself. So I put it out as a demo to kind of get people to come in, you know, like get some interest, do these things, whatever. And it was later on, we're like, you know, we need to re-release the EP. So that's why there's not much stuff on Spotify. The only thing that's up there right now is Blatant, which is the single.
Yep.
And then the rest of the stuff is coming up there slowly but surely. We're getting it all re-released like the way it should have been done in the beginning so that it's legit and not just like demo quality.
Okay.
So that's where that's at. To Fight For is pretty new for the most part, but it's also kind of old because of the fact that it was an offshoot from We Are Victory. So it's not the same music by any means, but it is, that's where it came from.
Love it.
Yeah, I checked out We Are Victory because I saw that and I was going to ask you about that. And there is only one song on Spotify with We Are Victory. And then you also have a song called All of Me that's on YouTube, but that's not on Spotify either, which that has a very different sound than any of your music as well.
Yeah. So the whole writing process and kind of what God was kind of putting me into mind was that he wanted it to be metal that was technical and easily understandable and digestible for a lot of different genres. So what we did is I like A Day to Remember a lot. I don't like some of the messages, but I do like how they can mix both of the worlds together. And so All of Me is exactly that. It is that genre. It's like the easy core, if you will, sound. And we do incorporate some of that stuff within some of the songs as well. As you know from like hearing it, there's a lot of different influences that go into, you know, the stuff. And especially when you listen to a lot of the older EP, which will be up there, but we took down a lot of the We Are Victory stuff because of stuff that was going on that we kind of found out was going on. So we were like, yeah, we can't have that up there. Yeah, when you have a singer that's not really living it out, you don't really want to put that out there. That, right. At least I don't. So
no, 100% agree with you. Yeah, for sure. So I was listening, I mean, of the songs you have on Spotify, listening to your last one that you put on there, Holy Ground. Mm. Oh my goodness. Like, musically, that song may be perfect. Like, I love everything about it. Like, how much, I mean, what did you guys have to do to, like, remaster, add to it? Like, how much more did you add to it than what was already out there? Because you're saying that you're redoing the EP. What else have you done to it? Because this song, I'm talking like chef's kiss on that. Like, it is that good.
Dude, thank you so much for the compliments, man. So it's no different as far as the song goes. We're not changing anything to do with the original songs. So the original songs are exactly how they are.
Okay.
Just updated in recording the process the way that recording's supposed to be done, not just like I'm gonna throw a quick demo together to get some people in. It's the actual legit release.
Okay. Pretty much like the meme of like To Fight For being born 2022 colorized kind of thing, you know, where it feels like as if it's like, you know, enhanced for like HD, you know, re-released on Blu-ray.
And all that stuff.
So for all the old people, I guess that. What, am I literally calling myself old right now?
I mean, you just mentioned Blu-ray. I don't even think anybody watches that anymore.
Sure, I don't even know where that came from. Like, you know, is that some kind of a, you know, a new type of a color or something, or like what's going on?
Oh, I'm old enough that I remember Betamax. Okay, so.
Oh my. My back.
Oh, trust me, I hit 50 and I was like, ah, man, I'm old. So, yeah.
You're 50?
50.
You don't look like it.
Well, thank you. I feel like it.
I feel like it.
Feel like it. No.
That's funny.
So what is the next thing that you guys are going to be doing? I mean, like I said, Holy Ground just came out. It says here in 26. What's your next song you're going to be dropping?
It's called Alive. Okay. And we're really excited about it, man. It is probably one of the heaviest ones that we've ever done. Yeah, it's really about, you know, what it takes to like feel like you're, you know, like alive, like finding God and really living that out, like getting tired of your life the way that you're living it, realizing that like everything you're chasing after really kind of means nothing at the end of the day, and really wanting to know, just like what it says in the chorus, I want to know what it takes to feel alive. You know what I mean? Like,
love that.
What it's like to feel alive. So it's like, it is just a cry out, and the breakdown in it is like, literally like straight up conviction. Like it's like, you know, a cry out of like, you know, you'll see when you listen to it. It carries a lot of feeling, emotion for me personally. So,
okay. All right. Kira.
So I just want to say it. So you reached 3,000 followers on Facebook within 2 months. I saw that, which is a huge accomplishment. So congratulations, by the way. Do you think a lot of that had to do with not just your music, but your videos? Because you guys put videos out with every song, right?
Yeah. So that's another part of our approach of how we do things. Everything is very theatrical and video-based, even the live show. So like when we're on stage, you can see the lyrics literally as I'm screaming them. You can see them. So it said, there's no excuse like, well, I don't know what he's saying. And it literally is like right there in the forefront. And so all the videos that you see there are videos that actually played on the stage.
Nice.
Wow. I love that. And you even played with Convictions and Heal the Hurt already.
Yeah.
Wow. What an honor.
Absolutely. Yeah. We played with Convictions actually a long time ago before they started getting, you know, as big as they are now.
But We Are Victory.
That was when we were with We Are Victory, exactly.
Okay.
And so the last show that, it's actually funny because the last show that we had that we were going to play with them, the venue twice now has totally, it was an act of the enemy, man, just trying to stop what was going on. And a lot, you know, long story short, we got completely pushed around, like out of our sound check and like everything. It was just a whole big mess.
Yeah, even to the point where it's like we're almost about ready to play and we have like people's stuff backline behind us, to where it's like all they have to do is literally just plug in their mics and then just get to, you know, going all screamy and all that, and they literally are telling us like, hey, you guys know you guys got like 12 minutes left of your set, right? It's like, but hey, you know, did I say that out loud? I need to.
Nice.
But yeah, it's, you know, yeah, it is what it is.
I love how you mentioned that you put your lyrics up on the screen, because when I was listening on Spotify, I was kind of looking down when I had a chance and following along with the songs. And I love that you have them on there, and I love how Christ-centered your music is. Like, that's something that I know for me, for Kira, for our other co-host Jeremy, that's something that's really important to us is, yeah, you don't have to sit there and, you know, beat people over the head with the Bible, with everything, every single lyric of a song, but we want it to be Christ-centered. And listening to your music, I love how you just, you bring Christ into it so wonderfully. So I want to thank you for that, because that was awesome getting to read through the lyrics as I'm listening to it. So,
yeah, that's all God, man. I just, the way that these songs were written is just, it's really weird. I would wake up at like 3 a.m. and just be ready to write. And these songs would just fly out, man. The lyrics, the songs, everything would just fly out. And it's like, I have to go back and reteach myself the riffs. You know what I mean? I'm like, where do these things come from? It's like, I was doing it today with some of the stuff. I'm like, man, where was I at when I was writing this stuff? Because I don't even remember how to play this. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's crazy at a spiritual level. But it's like I said, man, we don't really hide the fact that we're Christian. We're not at all. We're not like there's innuendos here whatsoever. You know, one of the bands that I really look up to is For Today, because they were just straight up in your face, but they also lived it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's a great thing. And it's one of the things our scene really, really needs, man. The church needs to stand up and fight, man. And that's all there is to it.
And, for sure.
And it's like, there's too many people that want, you know, bands and everything else that wants to be like the world, but we're not supposed to be like that.
Mm-mm.
You know, we're supposed to be part of it, but not of it. And so a lot of people try to like mask that the fact that they're Christian, you know, by making songs that are pseudo Christian. And it's like, what are you doing though? You're not encouraging or exhorting people to like follow Christ or do anything like that. You're making them play a guessing game of like, is this Christian or not? I've seen on so many of those forums, it's like, hey, is this band Christian? I saw this one lyric in there that points towards the fact that they might be Christian. It's like, but man, didn't you sign as a Christian band? It's like, you don't even get me started on some of those bands, dude. I'm just like, that drives me nuts.
Oh, like, for sure.
That stuff.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I love
the
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just making a little joke. It was like, putting everyone on blast, man. You'll make this most fire podcast out there right now.
Hey, I prayed before this, so here you go.
People should be loving Jesus, and they should be understanding. So I'm a huge metalhead girly, right? And I already loved your music, but then when I got to research, like, I didn't find too much out there, but I was reading this interview you did, and that right there, I'm gonna be a fan for life, just because it shows me where you're really at. Not along, just not with your lyrics, but you had said that you prayer goes into all the writing process, which you just kind of mentioned. But I'm gonna quote you because I love this. And I feel like a lot of the time, sometimes we feel like we have to defend metal, Christian metal, because some people out there think it's, you know, demonic, which is clearly not. And I make a lot of videos about this, but this is what you said. And you said it so beautifully. You said, direct them to the Beatitudes. God cares as much about the heart behind what we do as much as the actions themselves. When we are told to make a joyful noise unto him, the uncreated God does not have a genre preference. He has a heart preference. Boom. Yeah. Right there.
Mm. Love that. That is a great quote. So,
I forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that up. Was it you, Bobby, that said that, or was that me? I'm trying to remember.
I'm not sure which interview that is, but I do recall that is how I feel about it, because I do know that, you know, there are so many people that like think that because you what you listen to that is like not you can't be Christian, and it's like God looks at the heart, right? He doesn't look at what it is you're listening to. He created all music, so how could he not enjoy what he's created? Also, very many times in the Psalms and everywhere else, he says, praise me with the clashing cymbals and the resounding noise. He doesn't say, like, I want this, like, you know, play this pad and see, and then I just want you guys to, like, sit there for, like, 8 minutes and just worship me. You know what I mean? He wants you to make a joyful noise. What is a joyful noise? Well, a joyful noise is different to everybody, right?
Yep.
It's different to everybody. Somebody might listen to our music and be like, man, I don't like that. But then they'll turn on Christian rap and be like, oh, yeah, this is my jam right here. Well, that's a joyful noise. If it's praising God, it's a joyful noise. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you.
Absolutely. And that's kind of why we do this show. Like I've mentioned down here before, when I became a Christian, all I knew was K-Love. So you turn that on and to me, that was Jesus is my boyfriend music. Like, everything was Jesus hold my hand, Jesus carry me. And I'm like, as a metalhead, I cannot do that. I cannot listen to that for the rest of my life. And then I discovered Christian metal, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
That's funny.
But we do the show because we want people to meet guys like you. We want them to know that, yes, there's metal music out there, music that speaks to people like me, to Kira, to other co-host Jeremy. But you're solid in your faith. You're solid Christians. You're out there sharing the gospel. Like, that's what we want people to understand. That's why we do this show. It's more than just the music. We want people to get to know you, your heart. Which leads me to my next question. Would you guys be willing to share your testimonies, how you came to know Christ with us?
Yeah, are you ready for a crazy long... Well, I'll make it as short as I can, but I got to cover a lot of area of how, you know, kind of where how it all came together. So if you got time, I will.
Yes. Okay, do it the best you can.
I will. I prayed about it before, so it'll come out of the way it needs to. So I was part of a lot of atheist and agnostic type bands. When I very first got called into you doing music, I lived the rock and roll lifestyle, man. I did the sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, the whole bit, man. I was just a not good person. Just, I'd do anything to find, you know, I'd steal, I would lie, I would do whatever it took to get what I needed. You know what I mean? And that was the drugs, you know? And so I recall many times my mother would always, she lived in Las Vegas, and she would always be like, hey, look, there's these people that are playing music like you do, but it's for God. That's so cool. And I was like, yeah, that's, you know, whatever. That's not very cool. You know, and so I kept on resisting this call that God was trying to call me towards going to Las Vegas. And she'd, every tour we'd come through, she'd always be like, hey, you need to really come here and do this and whatever, like, come check out this church, it's really cool, it's like for people like you. I'm like, people like me, what does that mean? You know, like, but seriously, you get that, people like you. But for metal, you know, and for that type of thing. And I didn't think anything of it because I just wanted to party at the time. You know what I mean? And I went through a lot of different, I'm just going to leave it at, I went through a lot of different stuff that God kind of slowly but surely pulled me from and like did everything to change from where I was to where he was taking me. And so I went to a church service one time when I came in, and I went to this church there called Central Christian, and I went there, and it was there that God, when I was in that worship service, he said, and I he didn't hear, it wasn't an audible voice, but I could feel in my spirit him say, this is what you're going to do for me from now on. Your music's not going to be, you know, for this thing, you're going to do this. And that was the start of, you know, kind of everything that God was going to show me along the way. But I started following God really close. And before any of that had occurred, I got to go back just a little bit more, because the actual very first way that I came to Christ was the most miraculous thing I've had happen in my life up to this point. Basically, I went... it was in Yuma, Arizona. My parents had moved to Arizona, and I went to this, it was like a nightclub thing with like a pool hall, basically. And I would go there, and I would just go shoot pool. And one of these nights, this guy, he would just show up there, and he would play pool with me. And I didn't know who he was. And this went on for about a month, and we would just hang out and play pool and whatever. And one night I came in, and he was like, hey, I want you to come somewhere with me. And I was like, okay, you know, sure. Let's go check out this place. Figure he was going to take me to a party or something. Well, he ends up taking me to, you remember in the 90s, you know, the 2000s, sorry. In the 2000s, the hardcore scene for Christian metal was huge. And he ended up taking me to this youth group night that was literally my kind of people. You know, hanging out. Listen, they were at that time, they were listening to like POD and like I don't even remember what else it was, but they were listening, probably Skillet, you know, probably something like that. But anyways, they were like hanging out, and I walked in, and I'm like, man, this is like crazy. Like, all these people are, you know, here and they love God and whatever. Well, we get there and I sat on the floor and I was like, you know, it was came to prayer time, and the guy got up and he went up to the front of the room, and he actually was the pastor. He was the youth pastor.
Hmm.
So, and I didn't know this the whole entire time. And so I'm sitting there and he's like, all right, we're going to bow our heads to pray now. You know, whatever. And I was like too cool for school, you know, like the guy that didn't want to have anybody see me praying. So I sat there with my head up the entire time. Well, he ended up looking up in the middle of the prayer and he looked at me and he got this like huge disappointed look on his face. And he was just like, he's like, he was disappointed. You could see like he wanted me to come to Christ so bad and I didn't. And I felt so bad, and I went home that night and I fell asleep on my couch, and this was my come to God moment. This was the moment that God literally was like, you're going to choose a path, and if, you know, this is it. And so I went to sleep, or what I think it was sleep, and it was like a vision of like a bunch of people in the middle of a desert, like probably, you know, thousands of people in a desert, and then there was a light up in the sky, and everybody saw the light and they were like, oh, look, it's God, you know? And just like in my dream, or I mean, just like in real life, you know, everybody fell to their knees when they said it's God. And I didn't, I just stood up standing. Right. And it was like life playing out in dream as well. But I stood there, and then out of the star came a little star, and it like hit the ground, huge nuclear explosion. And then out of the left-hand side of the sky came a burning blue cross. Okay. And it came out of the sky, and I could see it was so real, and it just like floated across the sky, and everybody fell to their knees and started worshiping. And I was still standing up. And at that moment, these demons came out of the ground and like pulled me up, right? Or pulled me down to the ground. That's when I woke up. And throughout the entire neighborhood, I could hear the explosion from that dream, like going, resonating through the neighborhood. It was so real that I could still hear it when I woke up. And I fell to my knees and I said, God, I know that you are real. I just encountered something that I can't explain, whatever. And so 3 years down the line, 2 to 3 years down the line, I'm following God and I'm studying in the book of Revelation, and I come across that exact scripture that I dreamed in that vision, which is, it says, be careful when they go out to the desert and they say, look, there's God, because that's not, it's people being like, what do you call it? Deceived.
Yeah.
And so like in my dream, I thought that like I was standing up because I didn't want to believe in God, but in years later, after following God, I realized what he was trying to show me was that I wasn't going to bow down like everybody else did. And so the other part of it was, out of the left-hand side of the sky came that burning cross. Well, it says in the end, this, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Well, what is the sign of the Son of Man? It's the cross. Is it not? And so everything that I dreamed in that vision, or whatever you want to call it, was biblical scripture in which I had no clue it existed. I had no clue that that scripture even existed. And I had dreamed of it, or vision, whatever you want to call it. And so, that was my come to God moment. And it from that moment, it wasn't perfect, and it has never been perfect, but it's been a journey the entire time. But that was the most real life-changing event that God has ever shown me.
That is awesome.
Yeah, wow. I love that story.
I kind of got some chills here as you're telling that story. Like,
that's what everyone says. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy for sure.
How about you, Hal?
Well, now I feel like the wedding crasher at the wedding in Canaan, where Jesus made the water into wine, where it's like, you know, normally people save the best wine for last, but you brought it out first things. Like, how can I top that?
Oh my gosh.
All jokes aside though, You know, no, I can't do this. Meeting's over. I like grew up kind of in the church, you know, grew up a little bit more Southern Baptist until I was about like 8 years old. Parents got a job up in Ohio. So I live in Tennessee. I've born and raised in East Knoxville. Moved up to Central Ohio, like New Albany, around like where Westerville and Columbus is at, when I was about 8 years old. You know, got done, you know, graduated from there. God brought me over to Middle Tennessee, brought me back down here to MTSU, which was a big recording and audio college down here. Then God pulled me out of that, put me with Bobby, which, very brief overview. But so my testimony has very much been like, I knew there was something out there, but I didn't really know exactly who God was. You know, it could have just very well been me living in my own head and in my own like feelings and whatnot, but I don't really feel like as if the churches I've been to really worked on showing me exactly, you know, that mere Christianity, as C.S. Lewis would say, like, you know, does God exist? And did Jesus rise from the dead? You know, and show me like the background behind those two points, and you know how those two things actually came to be. Which there is, of course, a difference between knowing that or believing in and believing that. Or well, you guys know what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure.
But then, so I would always go on like whatever missions trips that our church would do. And, you know, because I actually really enjoy getting to go out and get to serve people. You know, I'm not trying to be like Moses, be like, you know, Moses was the most humble man alive, said Moses. but on this one missions trip in Jamaica, so keep in mind, I had never known like what Pentecostalism was before, or even like heard about like the Holy Spirit working. Like, I probably didn't even really know who the Holy Spirit was at that point, honestly. And I saw, well, so me and like 15 other white people in a church full of, you know, black Jamaicans, you know, like we were like the whitest people in the room. Like, you could probably mistake us for the sun, you know, because of like how white we are. And, you know, of course, like I saw people, you know, getting like fell out in the spirit and like, you know, speaking in tongues and all that. But there wasn't like any sort of like weirdness about it to me. Like, it was strange, but it, like, something told me, like, you know, hey, there's more to all this than what I'm just seeing. And not in like a paranoid kind of way. It's more like, oh, okay, there's something to this. Like, I want to know what's what the power is behind all this. And then this prophet, I guess, I honestly don't even remember what he looks like. Don't remember his name or nothing. He comes up and say, you know, don't know my name or nothing. Never talked to him before. And it's like, you're going to go and do worship for God, for his glory and his name. And man, when I tell you, it's so hot and muggy down there, it's so near the equator, this cooling breeze just like goes over, at least where I was at. And it, like, nothing where it's like, okay, so I'm getting chill bumps because we got a bit of a cool breeze a little bit. It's not like a cool breeze where it would give you like goosebumps or anything. It was like literally every single weight and worry and just heartache, headache, whatever I was dealing with, just disappeared for like a moment. I was like, whoa, like something happened here. That was the first time I honestly can recall that like God was really like speaking to me. Now, I hadn't made my profession of faith yet. Like, that was him pretty much showing me like a very small speck of his power. Long story short, I had my heart broken real bad a few months later, and I came to the point where I was like, God, you either show me that you're there and that you have a plan for me, otherwise I'm just going to end myself. I'm just going to self-delete. Thankfully, he showed up. You know, which I hope me being here is proof of that.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so much to that as well. But you know, in terms of like me, like it was a total God thing for me going down to MTSU, like, and honestly, me pulling away from college because I was expecting to go to college full time. Like I was expecting to get out and, you know, with an audio degree or something. But during this retreat I had in February of 2017 was, you know, I was deep in prayer. I was like, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, my time for you at MTSU is done. Like, I need you to withdraw from that. That's not where you're going to be doing. Like, that was my way of getting you to Tennessee. Now that time is done. I was like, okay. Everyone around me was, of course, telling me, like, how much of a bad idea it was. And probably the most conventional minds probably was. But I also look at it like this. Like, I would have graduated in 2020. And we all know what happened then. A lot of my friends that I went to college with for audio, they honestly got screwed out of their degrees. You know, pardon my French, because they didn't get nearly any of like the hands-on experience that they would have gotten typically because of the social distancing and, you know, just all that stuff. And so, you know, I left college in 2017, went to work. And with my dad, and then all of a sudden, the old singer of We Are Victory hits me up. Is like, "Hey, can you go and play bass?" I was like, "I don't advertise I can play bass, but I can play bass because I was a real big fan of Green Day, and you know Mike Dirnt just you know his bass playing is just like unbelievable for a punk player." And I was like, "I guess I could play bass. You know, I'd rather work on more on vocal stuff, but you know I could." Send a demo reel, why not? And, you know, I don't know what, you know, Jay had shown Bobby or anything, but that was good enough to where they were like, you know, why don't you come up to Clarksville, just like 3 hours away from where I was. I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to try this out. So February of 2018, I start coming on up there. Turns out Bobby and I are both in the same audio group called Unstoppable Recording Machine. So we got off to a good start on there. And now Bobby's, you know, got me like, you know, he's got this thing that they don't want to talk about, you know, it's like, you know, this little mole on his shoulder or something that speaks to him at random points of the day. Like, hey, I'm still here. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. There's so much more to everything, but that's really the, you know, house testimony for dummies kind of thing. So.
Nice. Very nice. All right, Kira.
So do you guys have any upcoming shows? Anything in the books for tours?
We do not currently because we actually just got away from a entertainment group that we were a part of. Because we kind of switched up the way that we're doing stuff. So we had a tour book. We had some tour stuff booked, and we just kind of pushed it back. And we're just going to see what God does with stuff with this release and kind of go on a fresh page with stuff because of where things were and where things are now. It's a whole different type of trust and production that God's asking us to do. It's not something that is normal. It's not something that came easy. It came in steps, basically, as far as how we do stuff now. And to elaborate on that, I guess I'll tell you. Basically, God did not want us to have a drummer. We've had so many drummers. We've had them come in and just everyone he has eventually pulled out, and we came to the conclusion that what he wanted us to do was build this wall that has literally us to the sides and him in the forefront. So it's not, when you come to the show, it's not a lead man in the front, it's two guys on the sides, and we have the wall and we have the lyrics and we have everything. And it's funny because we've played in the iteration of having to do this through We Are Victory, we played Michigan Metal Fest, and it was there that God showed me like, look, if you can get these people to like you with no drums and you're going into a mostly satanic type of vibe and you're playing Christian music here, and when our tracks stopped about the second song, I want to say, about the middle of the second song, it overheated, the laptop overheated, and we're like, dude, we're going to get booed off stage. And dude, people were literally like, no, we want more. Like, we want you guys to play more or whatever. They didn't care. When we talked to them after the show, they were like, we didn't even notice you guys didn't have a drummer. We literally didn't even care. So it was just showing, like, God wants to do something new. And what I'm hoping it does is it also shows there's a lot of talent that God's put out in the world. And there's people who are too scared to get out there and let their light shine. Because they don't have the resource or stuff, and maybe God just is calling you to just go do it. You know what I mean? You don't have a drummer, but you can write. Go do it. You know what I mean? He's given you that gift. It nowadays, like, if a DJ can stand up there and command 300,000 people with just twisting some knobs and not even really do anything, then why can't metal people who can actually play their instruments fill in all the other positions that they need to create the music and express it the way that they need to?
Absolutely.
I love that. I was going to ask about the no drummer thing, but I didn't know if I was allowed to. So thank you for
Yeah, absolutely. Me. No, that's part of the thing, man. It's part of the God trust thing.
Well, I just assumed it was that whole Spinal Tap thing where the drummer just randomly explodes every once in a while and you got to bring in another one. So.
I mean, kind of.
It seems kind like. Honestly, like, a lot of bands, a lot of Christian bands are having problems with retaining drummers. I see all the time bands like, hey, if you know a drummer, send them our way. Like, right. The longest time, one of our co-hosts, Riker, he's a drummer. And I was like, have you met my friend Riker? And he's like, dude, you gotta stop. So.
I'm already part of two bands.
Oh, yeah, it's like I said, though, there's so many people out there that you find on things where they're like, they're writing things themselves and they're doing it. But it's like, just like with this AI movement, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, the AI is creating the music, but they're not, what are they going to do when it comes to performing it live?
Yeah.
You know, you're not. Like, the only way you can is to just literally play it. But it's like, what if you have a person who's really good at music, but they can't find, you know, it's a person that's very, what do you call it? Like, can't work with, like, very non-sociable, you know, like a lot of creatives are non-sociable. They can be not extroverted. And so I'm hoping that it encourages people to be like, look, these guys can do this. You know, look at American Arson, dude. Two guys. You know what I mean? And, you know, the sky's the limit, man. God can use anything. So it's like, if he says, this is what I want you to do, it's basically our marching around the walls of Jericho, right? So we're bringing the walls. We're bringing the Ark of the Covenant around with us.
Nice. Love that.
I love that. I was just reading that. Last night, so that's really cool you brought that up. Well,
that's not a surprise to me.
You guys really kind of stand with me.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, and you mentioning AI, you wouldn't believe how many AI songs we get. I've actually had to start emailing bands back and be like, listen, I need to ask the question, is this AI? Because we get so many submissions.
Yeah.
That sometimes it's honestly sometimes hard to tell. Sometimes you can listen to it and be like 100% AI. Sometimes you're like, it's hard, and so I gotta ask. And I've had bands get angry at me, like, why would you ever think my music is AI? I'm like, dude, sorry, I gotta ask. Like, don't take it personal. Gotta ask, because we are not gonna play AI on our show at all.
Yep.
So
yeah, if you need help with that, just let me know. My autistic ADHD brain can, like, you know, like, zoom in on. I was like, that's it right there. Go get it.
Good to know.
Nice. Well, thankfully, the station that we're on now, when I load music onto it, it has filters on there that'll immediately bounce back and be like, nope, AI. So I'm thankful for that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So one of the things that we ask every once in a while is when you are out on the road and you are doing shows, how hard is it to stay in the word? Like what is that thing that you do that keeps you in the word? Like, yeah, it's that reminder that you gotta talk to God for a bit.
The fact that you figure out through being humbled through the years that there's nothing, he says, absolutely, you can do nothing apart from me. You know, it's the moments when you think that you got it, that God will let you fall completely flat on your face, you know, just to show you, like, look, I don't care how smart you think you are, how talented you think you are. I can take it in an instant and it's gone. And it's that humbling that does keep you wanting more. And it's also just, you know, I was reading something today and really hit me, is like, just knowing that it's your Father, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think people grasp the concept of what he's saying there when he says, you know, that he's the Father. It means like so much deeper than what we imagine. You're talking about the person who literally created you, everything that you are. You know what I mean? How can you not praise and worship that?
Yep. Amen to that. Yes. Come on, Kira, what you got?
I'm pretty much good at this point, I think now.
What's that?
I'm good now.
All right.
Hey, Sanchez, you should really keep Kira on. She's like the Nardwuar of the Christian movement. Like, you ever heard of a Nardwuar before? Is that what I'm thinking of, Bobby? Yeah, where it's like he'll go in like... man, he's just like really squirrely looking dude with... you know, curly hair and like the weird get up and whatnot, but he'll go and interview all these artists and be like, you know, revealing like, hey, did you write in your journal in the fifth grade that you just really like Lucy Liu or something? And it's like, how'd you know that? It's, you know, reminding the deep cuts, you know, kind of thing. But,
you have no idea.
Like, I didn't even know that interview was out. So, yeah.
You have no idea. Deep diver. One of the first interviews she did with us was I Am the Pendragon, and she brought up something from like 2017, and Jared was just like, how? Like, I don't even remember that. How did you find that?
Yeah.
Can I see a video of Jared getting stumped like that? I would love to see that.
Oh, just go on our YouTube page, and it's on there. I think it's in season 4, I think. But yeah, I mean, it was just funny. His face was just like, how?
Well, see, here's why I do what I do, because I love metal and I love Jesus, but I don't know, I'm not a musician, I don't know anything about music, like nothing. I just love it. It's been my thing, like it's part of my identity. But I can't tell you anything about music. So I can't be like, hey, tell me about this, da-da-da. Like, I can't. But I can research all about you and your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with the music and where you've been and what you do. I can do that.
Yes.
Yeah, you sure can.
What's it that the teen girls do nowadays? You go clock that?
There's a whole thing at my work with my work bestie where she's always like that. And I'm like, huh? I'm almost 42. I don't get it.
You're still a youngin. I don't.
That's funny.
You're still young.
Trust me. Like, if you get like those fake nails that you slide on and whatnot, and then go like that, you get that tapping sound or whatever. Like, it helps. No pun intended, but it clicks real well. So.
No, thank you. I'm just gonna be me, and that's what we're gonna do.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah, when you were quoting that thing, I'm like, wow, I said that? I did say that.
It's so beautiful.
I have to think. Yeah.
I got it written in my glitter gel pen, too, so I'm probably going to post it.
That's cool.
Nice.
I like that. That's cool.
Appreciate it.
Well, as we get ready to close out the show, because we are quickly running out of time, and in order to finish up what we have to do, one thing that we absolutely love to do for our guests is pray. And like I tell everyone, we have a thread that Kira's on, my 17-year-old daughter's on, our other co-host Jeremy, he's on. I post all your prayer requests in there, and we pray through these every single day. So how can we be praying for you tonight?
I would say that you could pray for protection first off for what we're doing. You already know the stuff that comes along with that. Yep. So definitely protection. I would say wisdom to carry whatever mantle it is that God's asking for us to carry. And I would also say just open doors of opportunity to be able to take what he's given us out to the world in a great, perfect timing as it is now. And the harvest is ripe. So.
Perfect. I will be praying for all that. How about you, Hal? How can we be praying for you?
Ditto.
All right.
I mean, I have nothing to add to that. I mean, that's, you know, Bobby said it pretty spot on. So.
Perfect. So before we get into prayer, is there anything that you would like to share with the Rock for Him viewers and listeners that you want them to know? Like just something we haven't talked about tonight that you're like, oh, if I get nothing else out tonight, I want them to know this.
Oh, you can go first, Al.
All right, fair enough. So I would say one of the biggest things is that faith is not just blindly trusting in something that you can't prove or you cannot verify for yourself. Faith, you know, while some people say, like, you know, taking a leap of faith, you know, involves, like, you know, you don't know exactly what's going to come of it and whatnot. That leap of faith, so when it comes to with God, he makes himself known. And he builds, you know, he wants you to engage in a relationship with him. And if everything that you hear about him in the Bible is true, that he is loving, he, you know, he is just, and he knows every single hair on your head, you know, your first day from your last day, he knows everything about you, and that he has, you know, the best, well, not the best that we'll ever get on the side of eternity, thank God. But, you know, he knows the best way in which you should go and the which you, what you should speak. You know, where you should walk, wherever, that even if you may not understand it, you know, who's to say that, you know, we shouldn't trust God? Mm-hmm. You know, like, man, I may be afraid of dark alleys and whatnot, be like, man, I ain't going around none of there. But if I know God is telling me to go into a dark alley or whatever, I know he's going to bring some good out of that, no matter what kind of funky stuff I'd be going there. I might be scared like a little girl with every single hair on my neck standing up, you know, like I got spider sense or something. But, you know, I know that he's going to make some way, you know, through it. Like there's going to be some good out of it, you know. And that's part of what faith is having like that trust where it's like, oh, here's the example I was thinking of. We go into our cars every single day for those of us that can drive, and we turn the car, or we turn the key expecting the car to start. That's faith. Like, we didn't go and check the engine and make sure that the pistons are not misfiring. You know, we didn't go and check and make sure there's not, like, a, you know, a horrible, like, you know, mess up in our radiator that's going to cause it to blow up as soon as we start the car, which I've had both of those things happen to me before, so I'm speaking from experience. We didn't check like the million different things that could go wrong with a car before we started up. We just crank it, expecting it to start. That's operating on faith. We operate on faith so much more than, you know, even believers even think that we do. You know, it's because that faith is built on a level of trust. And, you know, it's more like a question I want to pose to you is like, you know, to the viewers or even to you guys as well, if you want to answer, you know, how much faith do you really have in God? You know, what does your faith in God really look like? Is it just saying, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ because even the demons believe it? No, I should stop there. I'm going to go too deep into it.
All right. Awesome. Love that. Yeah. Bobby, you got anything you want to share?
Yeah, mine just is on a more practical approach of just – if you want to know who God is, he says, if you, the more you seek me, it, you will find me. And meaning that, you know, get into the word, get into your own personal relationship, find the people that like inspire you to listen to, you know, different sermons and worship, get people that, that feed you, that can help you, grow, help you want more of God in those ways, and able to, you know, fully come into who you're supposed to be in Christ. And it will work that way. The more you seek and search, you will find him, and he reveals himself in so many amazing ways that you can't even, you look back and you can't even count like how he got you through this and how he got you through that and how he provided for this and provided for that. And he's a good father, man. It's just, that's what it is. You got to realize he is the father. And once you come to that realization, your whole life will change. And when you realize that he is the father, you are the son, you are an heir of Christ, and what that actually means.
Love it. Perfect. Thank you for both of you.
I guess
thank
I'm
you
for quote that. Man.
Nice. Love it. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close this out in prayer. So, great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing Bobby Joe and Hal here. I ask that you just put a hedge of protection around them, protect them, keep them safe in all that they do. Lord, continue to help them to glorify you in everything that they do, every action. Lord, protect their families. Lord, I ask that you just watch over them and continue to give them wisdom. I ask that you open doors for them, give them the opportunity to go into the places that maybe they don't want to go, to share your truth and your gospel with people that who may not know you. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for their ministry, and I thank you for their music. Lord, I ask that you just continue to bless them. But most of all, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for us on that cross, because we sure don't deserve it. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
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 All right, real quick, guys. Where can people find your music? I know we mentioned it a couple times, but where can people find your music for people just tuning
it's coming,
in?
It's all coming back up soon. So it's going to be on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, everything. We're leaving up what's up there right now. So there's Blatant, and then the new single comes out on April 3rd. Yes.
Yep, this Friday.
April 3rd. And we're really excited about this one, man. Like, really, really excited about it. So...
Thank you guys so much for being here. It's been such a blessing to get to know you guys so much better, and I'm so honored that I got to be here with you guys tonight. And remember, guys, if you're gonna rock, rock for him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock, rock for him.
Next week on Rock for Him, it's a special presentation of our podcast that we did with our brother, David Patacone. You're not going to want to miss it.